This is a voice of truth. This is Pastor Pendarvis inviting you to stay tuned now to hear the late Pastor Shelton on the Lord Himself.
In the religious world, as well as in the secular world, the Lord Jesus Christ is set aside, or ignored, or cried down, and is looked upon largely as a mere man, or a great prophet, or a great religious leader. He is thought of as being divine only as any other man is divine. The virgin birth of Christ and the deity of Christ in the vast majority of religious circles is laughed at, made fun of, and considered a doctrine of the Dark Ages, when man was looked upon as being stupid and ignorant. This has led to modern-day theologians scrapping the old age-long doctrines of Holy Spirit conviction, repentance, and the new birth, the substitutionary death of Christ on the cross, His bodily resurrection, and His second coming back to earth again. In casting these great doctrines to the scrap heap of the world, in their vain worldly wisdom, they have come to think of the great old doctrine of judgment and hell as unworthy of their notice. And they have created, get this now, hold your seat. Now, brother, I'm putting my finger on something here. You listen, and they have created, by the figment of their own depraved imaginations, their own gods, or their own God, who is a little sissy, effeminate, all-loving, all-merciful being, who loves everybody and would not send anybody to hell if there was a hell. Now you let that soak in. Brother, God doesn't owe that bunch one thing in the world except to send them to hell. In the face of such religious teachings, the Bible stands out, get it now, as the verbally inspired Word of God, unbroken, absolute, and eternal. The Bible is true, whether you believe it or whether any man believes it. And the great old cardinal doctrines of the Word of God are just as true today as they were the day they were written by the inspired men of God and given to us from the very pen of the Holy Ghost Himself. The Bible does not need to be defended. It needs to be proclaimed, because it is by the foolishness of preaching God is ordained to save them that believe. Now you get this truth. God doesn't owe you anything. God does not have to apologize to any theologian or so-called scholar. God don't owe an explanation to nobody as to what He does, who He saves, when He saves them, and how He saves them. And if you think you can command God, brother, you've got something else coming. I wish you'd turn to Daniel 4:35 and read it. God reputes the inhabitants of the earth as nothing in His sight. The Lord Jesus Christ was virgin born. He is the Son of God, the second person of the triune God. He died on the cross as the sinner's substitute, according to the Scriptures, was buried and rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures, as the believer's justifier. He is now at the right hand of the Majesty on high as the believer's high priest, and He's coming again as our Lord and King. And all the powers of earth, sea, and sky cannot keep him from coming the second time, as they did not keep him coming from coming the first time. With our Bibles in hand, let's turn to 1 Thessalonians 4:13. 1 Thessalonians 4:13. And let's read. Listen. Listen to God's Word. Listen to God's Word. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent, that is, precede or hinder them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Now, my friend, we never ask to comfort a saint with the idea of heaven. We are always to comfort a saint with the second coming of our Lord back to earth again. We spoke to you last Sunday on the subject of this same Jesus, showing you from God's Word that the Lord Jesus Christ, who died on the cross, was buried and rose again, and who ascended back to the right hand of God in his resurrected, corporal, nailed, scarred body of flesh and bones, would return for his own. Our subject today is the Lord himself. I want to show you from God's Word that when the Lord Jesus Christ leaves his meritorial throne yon at the right hand of the Majesty on high, he will come back not only as the same Jesus who went away, but he'll come as Lord of Lords and King of Kings. All hail will tremble, all the men of earth, whether great or small, rich or poor, learned or ignorant, will cry for the rocks and mountains to hide them from the face of him who comes in the clouds of heaven as the Lord of all the earth. You infidels may laugh, you modernists may poke fun, you unsaved religionists may toss your head, but I want to tell you, when the heavens roll back as a scroll, and the sun is darkened, and the moon is turned to blood, and the stars in the heavens begin to fall, when our Lord steps forth from his secret chambers, the believer's high priest, and appears as Lord of Lords and King of Kings, there'll be no laughter then. There'll be no fun-making then. When this old earth shall dissolve, and the heavens shall flee away, there'll be no place found for you but to stand before the great white throne judgment and receive the reward of your wicked deeds and your ungodly life. If the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the sinner and the ungodly appear? And those who disobey the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, sinner, for God's sake, wake up. Wake up, sinner, and look to Christ. Turn to him now, because Christ is coming. Now let's look at our text, 1 Thessalonians 4:16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Look at that expression, the Lord himself. The two heavenly messengers standing before those 11 disciples said, this same Jesus shall return. He wanted them to know, or they wanted them to know, without the shadow of a doubt, that this same Jesus, born of the Virgin Mary, who was the Son of God, shall come back in like manner as he went away. We find here, when the Apostle Paul was writing to the church at Thessalonica about the return of the Lord Jesus Christ earth again, he said, the Lord himself shall come. The Lord himself shall come. Not some great majestic angel, not some representative, not Michael the archangel, nor Gabriel the messenger to the Jews, not some other great dignitary or creature, but the Lord himself shall descend. I want you to notice that emphatic, himself, the Lord himself. To me, that's one of the most comforting statements in God's Word, because he said in the 18th verse, comfort one another with these words. As I said, you don't comfort a believer with the idea of heaven, that he's going to heaven. Heaven means nothing in the world to a saint apart from his Lord. Heaven would be nothing but a barn. Heaven would be hell without Christ. That's right. What is more comforting to the heart of the born-again believer than in the midst of trials and persecutions and adversities and heartaches? What is more comforting in the hour of death than to know that the Lord himself is coming back for his own? That's the blessed hope of the believer. Christ said to his disciples the night of his betrayal, I will come again and receive, that is, take you by force, unto myself. It is the heart longing of every child of God to be with his blessed Lord. How many times have you saints cried unto him and said, oh, if I could fly to thee and rest at thy pierced feet and bathe them with my tears of repentance and joy. How many times have you cried, oh, my soul, return like a dove unto thy rest, than just to think that some happy morning or some glorious noon hour or some golden daybreak or at some evening tide or midnight hour our blessed Lord himself shall come for us. You modernists, go on with your social gospel. Go on with it. Go on with your social gospel. Go on trying to make the world better without Christ. Go on denying the virgin birth of the Son of God. Go on damning souls to hell and go to hell with it. But praise God for a gospel that is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, that Christ died, that Christ was buried, Christ rose again, Christ ascended, Christ within the veil is our living high priest, and the Lord himself is coming again as our bridegroom to take us unto himself and then to come as our ruling king. Now, you unsaved religionists can laugh at that. You Unitarians, you infidels, you evolutionists, you modernists, go on laugh at it and go to hell with your trouble. But thank God that doesn't alter it. Christ is coming back. Our text says, yeah, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. Where is he now? Hebrews 9:24 says, in heaven itself, to appear in the presence of God for us. Yes, he's in heaven itself, in the presence of God the Father, as our representative, as our living high priest, as our surety of the better covenant. He's there pleading in our behalf. And so it says here, he'll descend from that heaven one day with a shout. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven, lay aside his priestly robe, deck himself in the robe of a bridegroom, and come for his bride. He'll come with a shout. First, it's a shout of victory. I mean, a triumphant shout of victory. I know seemingly the light burns low. I know we're living in a day when it's only a gleaning. I know not many are being saved. I know the world is being prepared religiously for the coming of the Antichrist. I know the great multitudes who are making decisions for Christ today are not being saved, and you do too. I know the great sweep of faith healings over the country today is not saving the souls of men, and you do too. But all of that is a revival of religion without Christ. I know that's so, and you do too. It's Satan's religious program trying to make the world religious without Christ. But praise God, in the midst of all of this, there's one here and one there whose eyes are being opened by the Holy Spirit. And they're seeing themselves as lost, ruined, depraved, hell-deserving sinners, and are being brought in the dust of repentance at the feet of Christ. And their Christ is revealed to their heart as their Lord and Savior. That individual is looking for the coming of his Lord. His hope is in the Lord himself to descend from heaven. I've often been asked, Brother Sheldon, when will the Lord Jesus return? I'll tell you exactly when he'll return. And I'm not setting a date either. He'll return when the last one of God's elect has been called out. And that seems to be not far in the future. Christ came to die for the elect. And not a one of them will be lost. Every one that he died for will be saved. When the Lord Jesus Christ went to Calvary's cross, he took the sins of all of God's elect on him and paid their sin debt to the last fathering. You get it now? You listening? Lay down everything there. Get quiet. The foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, that God knows those who are his. And in Hebrews 12:2 it says, get it now, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Oh, what a joy in the midst of suffering and agony. Untold was it to our blessed Lord as he hung there on the tree, paying the sin debt of God's elect. When the Holy Spirit has called out the last one that he died for, he'll leave the meritorial throne and come back to earth for his own. One by one, they're being brought in. One by one, their names are being checked on the Lamb's Book of Life. And what a moment. Ah, an hour. What a day when he leaves that throne with a shout of victory. When he says to God the Father, my Father, the last one that I've died for has been called in. You see him yonder? He's been brought into the fold. It's time to go after them now. What a day of rejoicing in heaven when he leaves heaven this time. Not as a babe in Bethlehem as a sin offering, but as a bridegroom apart from a sin offering, coming for his bride. He's coming. He's coming. Then it's not only a shout of victory, but it's a shout of joy because he's coming for his bride. He's coming for his redeemed. Do you know, my friend, the God of heaven is not interested in your big cities, your big business, your chambers of commerce, or your great chairs of learning. He's not primarily interested in your great religious organizations and your great religious programs. The Lord God of heaven is interested in one thing, and one thing only, and that is calling his own to salvation in Christ. This whole world's going to be destroyed, dissolve and pass away. Read 2 Peter, 3rd chapter. You don't find in God's Word where anything in the world that happens in this world causes the inhabitants of heaven to rejoice, except when a poor lost sinner has been brought to repentance. You can build your great schools, your cathedrals, put on your great religious programs, build up your great bridges and cities, conquer space with your air rockets, invent your bombs to destroy cities. Our Lord is not interested in those things, and there's no joy in heaven except over the salvation of a lost sinner. The 15th chapter of Luke, it says, there is joy in the presence of the angels in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. And that is what brings forth the shout from the heart of the returning Lord. He's coming for his own, that he redeemed with his own precious blood on Calvary's cross. It's a shout of victory and a shout of joy. It is such a tremendous event, the return of our Lord back to earth again, that the old warring angel Michael, the archangel, is coming with him. And he's coming with him in a triumphant voice. It says, with the voice of the archangel. And let me give you this picture, if you will. If you will, just listen. Hold your seats now and listen. Turn to the 22nd Psalm and read it closely. And you'll find it to be one of the greatest messianic psalms written, picturing the death of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross as the Good Shepherd. Then read the 23rd Psalm. It'll give you a picture of our blessed Lord during the age of grace as the Great Shepherd of the sheep. Then in the 24th Psalm, you'll find him as the Chief Shepherd. 1 Peter 5:4 says, "And when the Chief Shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away." In the 24th Psalm closing verses, you have a picture of the Chief Shepherd as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. When our Lord returns from glory, Michael the archangel will lead the way, fighting through the battlements of Satan, making a way for our Lord to return. His voice is a voice of triumph, a voice of victory for our blessed Lord. When the Lord himself shall descend from heaven, he'll come with the sounding of the trump of God, because he comes as our Lord. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven. It'll be the same Lord at whose feet that old leper fell down in worship, saying, "Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." The Lord Jesus, looking down upon that poor old leper, kneeling at his feet, said, "I will, be thou clean." And he arose with the flesh of a little child. That's the Lord Jesus who's coming back. It's the same Lord himself before whom that Syrophoenician woman came and prostrated herself crying, "Lord, have mercy upon me and heal my daughter, because she is grievously vexed with a demon." And he said unto her, "Be it unto thee according to thy faith." It's the same Lord before whom that poor, grief-stricken father one day brought his demoniac child and fell at his feet crying, "Lord, have mercy upon me and heal my son." And the Lord Jesus said, "Dost thou believe that I am able?" And he cried, "Lord, I do believe. Help thou my unbelief." It'll be the same Lord that the angels sing about before the shepherds upon the Judean hills when they said, "There is born unto thee today a Savior, Christ the Lord." It's the same Lord that one day the Apostle Peter fell down before and said, "As the glory of Christ flashed upon his wicked heart, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." It'll be the same Lord that his disciples looked upon as he knelt praying one day. And when he had finished, they said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray." They never had beheld any man praying with such fervency, such earnestness, such power, such nearness to the Heavenly Father as Christ Jesus, and they addressed him as Lord. Yes, the Lord himself, that the disciples knew in the prayer chamber, shall descend one of these days, coming for his bride. Won't that be glorious? Yes, the Lord himself, to whom the thief on the cross, in the hours of his agony, said, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And Jesus said, "This day thou shalt be with me in paradise." Won't it be a glorious day when that old thief will come back with him, still calling him Lord and Master, to be united with that old crucified body which was buried and will be raised in the likeness of the body of his Lord? Yes, the Lord himself shall come back, the one to whom Peter spoke and said, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life." You know, I'm glad he's coming back as Lord. That was a gracious hour in that upper room, that night when he appeared to his 11 disciples, and standing before Thomas, showed him his hands and his feet, the scars that had been made by the river nails. Then he showed him his side, where the Roman spear had pierced it, and left the ugly scar. And without a word, old Thomas fell at his feet, crying, "My Lord and my God." That's the Lord who's returning for his own. Thomas will be with him, because it said those who are asleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For the Lord himself, that's the Lord before whom Thomas prostrated himself, crying, "My Lord and my God." You unsaved religionists, go on calling him Jesus if you may, before whom no one bows and says, "Lord." No, you don't have anybody bowing before your Jesus and calling him Lord. No, they just give their heart to Jesus, your Jesus, the figment of your imagination, the creation of your own imagination, your little sissy, effeminate God. But one day, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven. The Lord you do not know. The Lord before whom you'll never bow and confess as Lord of your heart and life, except at the throne, great white throne judgment, when you'll have it to do. Because the Word says, listen to God's Word. Listen to God's Word. Listen to God's Word. That at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That's the Lord himself who's coming back, before whom everyone in heaven bows, and confesses his Lord, and cries, "Holy, holy, holy, thou art the Lord of hosts." That's what heaven's doing. Then you get the contrast to what earth is doing today with the Lord Jesus. They're calling him Mayor Jesus. Oh, he's just another man. He's just another prophet. He's just another religious leader. But the Lord himself shall descend from heaven. That's the Lord that Peter preached on the day of Pentecost when he said, "Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it, being by the right hand of God exalted." God hath made both Lord and Christ.
This brings to close another broadcast in the Voice of Truth broadcast. The message you heard was "The Lord Himself" by the late Pastor L.R. Shelton, Sr. Our mailing address, Radio Missions, Post Office Box 1810, Walker, Louisiana 70785. Goodbye and God bless you.